Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
What are you smiling about in there? You're Judas.
You are all but shaking right now.
You are Judas.
No. You are shaking.
No, we have a new word for things.
You Nancy Miller'd me.
And it is Nancy Miller. Sam is now Nancy Miller. Why? Okay, if you're just now, listen, just let me just say, when I walked in, I sat down. Sweet Joanne downstairs said, is there any broken furniture up here? We're getting ready to do a dumpster thing. And I said, yes, there is a broken chair in our studio. She goes, great. So she rolls it out of here with three or four other broken things.
No, she didn't. Sam snuck it out
of
here.
And they leave. I walk in the studio. Scott, you are, steam is blowing out of his ears. And I thought he was joking. He goes, well, I'm about to have a breakdown.
No, I said, where is my chair? The chair that I've sat in for 12 years.
But it's broken.
But it's mine. And I'm broken.
Okay.
I have sent Joanne back down.
I saw her walk by.
To retrieve the chair.
Out of the dumpster?
I was under the impression that we were going to start using the wonderful new chairs that the company bought for us 3 years ago.
They're ergonomically correct.
I don't like them.
So when Joanne said, hey, do you have any broken chairs? I decided that I was going to get rid of the broken chairs. So I go into the studio and immediately, in everyone's defense, Jamie and John both looked at me and said, oh, I wouldn't touch that.
Did they really? Chair.
And I said, I know, but I got to get rid of the broken chair.
Okay.
We're doing new chairs.
So
and I expected
a reaction. Jonathan Weir and Jamie both said I wouldn't touch that if I were you.
I expected a reaction. I just didn't expect this level of reaction.
You're like Fraser Crane's dad in Fraser.
No, I
loves
like,
that old awful chair and will.
I'm like Norm in Cheers when he walks into Cheers and somebody's sitting in his chair.
Yeah.
And he's standing behind him and he's like, and they turn around, they say, hi, who are you? And he goes, I'm Norm. And they say, Norm, what do you do? And he goes, I sit there.
I sit there.
I mean, you are apoplectic right now.
We are going to get it back.
It is on its way back upstairs. I do apologize.
Like, has it been in a dumpster?
It's no. They just rolled it down and they will roll it back up. But I feel bad that she has to do that because you have this bizarre affinity for broken furniture. But you can have it back.
It's not broken in my world.
Okay. It is comfortable. It is yours.
Yes.
Speaking of broken, let me tell you what is broken.
No.
I almost had my hand severed at the wrist last night.
Tell me more.
I was helping move. Last time I'm going to do that. And we have a very solid walnut, nice armoire for the bedroom. We don't have a ton of storage space. We're going to put sweaters in it, whatnot. And so it's in two pieces. And so Johnny takes one end. I take the other end. It's not that heavy. It's bearable. And we go up three stairs and we're walking, walking, walking. And you guys, in the center of the armoire, it is a large mirror. It's like wood on the left, large mirror in the center.
I bet it's beautiful.
Yep. Oh, it's gorgeous. Wood on the right. What I didn't realize was when you have a door and you turn it on its side to move it, it's very important that you have the hinges on the top side, because when the hinges are on the bottom side, that heavy piece of walnut will swing with a force unmatched in nature. And it slammed directly into my wrist and shattered all of my bones in my hand.
Okay.
And it bled. I thought, you want to talk about screaming words that we cannot say on the radio, and I didn't drop the armoire because I'm a professional. That being said, my moving days are over. I'm never humping furniture again or whatever you call it that you do with it. Do you see this?
No, I don't.
Oh, my God, it hurt.
Dana. First of all, you're not a professional.
clearly. Did you know about the hinges?
Dana, I am a professional mover.
You were a professional mover.
For 3 years.
That's like saying I make pizzas. That was once during a summer at age 15 for Little Caesars.
But I did work at Little Caesars.
Okay, so you know about the hinge rule, because I did not.
Dana, I achieved the rank of crew chief.
Ain't no hands getting severed on your watch.
Uh-uh.
By the way, I have noticed you push up on the left arm of that chair 4 times in the last 30 seconds. You know what you can't do on the old chair?
Yeah.
Push up on
it. He likes the broken arm. I don't know what else to say about it. You like a broken arm.
Well, somebody,
I would prefer not to have a broken hand.
Somebody wrote in on the text line, Scott, you are such a diva. I wrote back, because I want to sit in a broken chair?
Yes.
That makes me a diva? Because I want my broken chair back? A diva wouldn't want to sit in a broken chair.
But Dana, I did look at your wrist earlier. It has some signs of swelling. There is a red mark.
God, it was the size of a golf ball last night. And we went to go grab a drink after the move. It hurts so bad. The soft tissue is damaged.
Why didn't you look where the hinges were before you tilted it?
It never occurred to me that that door would swing and fly down. It was shut.
How many other doors have you approached where you thought to yourself, I'm not convinced that would open?
Well, it was shut when we got it out of the truck, when we walked up the stairs.
Most doors are shut. That door is shut right there. I bet it's going to open soon.
The force with which that 1700s dresser.
Was it hurricane strength?
It was gale force.
By the way, the age of that dresser has changed 5 times
now. It's an old antique piece, and I just need people to understand. I believe it's walnut, which is the heaviest wood. You know what saved my life?
I thought oak was the heaviest wood.
Do you know what saved my life? My Garmin golf watch. Because the dresser, instead of just shattering my left wrist bone, I don't know how that Garmin survived, but it did.
Saved your life.
Oh, my God. And the imprint that I have on my hand, look, is from the watch. Look at that.
Yeah.
God, it hurts. What is it about this place and my hands? I'm 0 for 2.
Here are the heaviest woods.
Okay.
Never heard of any of them.
Oh. Balsa?
I'm going to double check that for accuracy.
I thought it was walnut.
Careful searching heavy wood on the internet.
Whatever. Really? Whatever it was, it hurts when it hits your wrist bone.
We're on a roll today, boys and girls.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my.
The heaviest woods.
We got all kinds of good
stuff.
Is it
black ironwood?
It is black ironwood is the heaviest wood.
Which I've never heard of.
84.5 pounds per cubic foot.
Okay, this was clearly black ironwood.
Number two.
Made in the 1430s.
Number two is Iten wood from South America.
Yep.
African black wood is number three.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good talk.
Lignum vitae.
Wood?
I did say to Johnny, I said, after, he goes, how is it? You know, after like 10, 15 minutes, we got it all in. He goes, let me see it. How is it? And I said, I think it's broken.
Dana, you have an incredible ability to exaggerate.
No,
your injuries, though.
What did you tell the bartender when you walked into?
That I needed her to call 911 and bring me an ice pack. Scott, I swear to you, that thing made my entire left hand go numb. It just went numb. I couldn't feel anything.
Dana, I was a mover for 3 years. I have been injured on the job as a professional.
Snake wood is absolutely beautiful, by the way.
Snake wood?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Hmm.
Good talk.
Well, I'm glad you're going to be okay. By the way, Johnny was texting Sam and me behind your back last night.
He was very sweet and very, very concerned about my horrifying injury.
So let me just read this to you here real quick. Sam, are you okay with me reading some of this?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. This is from Johnny.
Mm-hmm.
Text time is 7:17.
Mm-hmm.
God help us. We have another traumatic hand injury to deal with.
Yes.
She is insisting it is broken and is pleading to go get an x-ray. Good luck tomorrow, boys. Sam, Did we hit the car door again? Is she going to be okay? Me. What is going on? Johnny, the door to the armoire fell open while we were moving it. It landed on her wrist ever so slightly.
Oh, ever so slightly?
Dana, all I do is read. I wrote back, unremarkable. Johnny, yes, it is unremarkable. She will be fine. Well, not according to her.
Oh, but this last text.
Last one he sends, and this comes in at 7:28. Little bit of a pinch and probably a bruise. Broken, according to her.
By the way, walnut wood is 38 pounds per cubic foot. So not even half.
913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Just saw the Kansas City Star. They are saying there is a chance for very heavy thunderstorms later today.
Really?
I must have not been paying attention to the weather. I have been busy nursing
my
injury.
To your hand injury.
Yes, thank you. That is what I have been doing. So be weather aware.
Did you go to the doctor?
I didn't.
Can you do this?
Yeah.
It's not broke.
Okay. Thank you.
This is the third time in the last 6 days that we have had potential severe weather, and the first two times it did not pan out. So
strong thunderstorms could bring heavy rain. Scattered showers and downpours expected to fire up in the afternoon along a front in northwest Missouri and move through the rest of the area throughout the evening. The severe threat is expected to coincide with the warmest time of the day. Most of the storms will be disorganized and short-lived, but powerful. They're saying between 3 p.m. and 9 p.m., strong storms will be capable of producing damaging wind gusts.
Okay.
Thunderstorms expected to linger into Friday. And it looks like...
Based on the AccuWeather live radar, it is everything north of here. The southernmost
storm is St. Joseph. So we're not even
going to
get it.
Well, we're in the slight... risk.
Man, when was the last time we got rain?
We need rain.
Well, it rained nonstop for like 7.5 years, and then now it's
ever since
drought conditions.
I don't think we've gotten a single drop in the last, 2 weeks?
Weekend's supposed to be 90s to 100s, and, you know, if, you know, there happens to be a certain game on where there's a ball and a bat, and if you're there, you're not listening to us, but if you're there, they keep showing people in the stands, Scott, with fans, just... Because it is so hot.
So the Royals are playing right now. Why wouldn't they move this game to tonight?
I don't know who makes those decisions. It's Tampa Bay that's...
Is this a getaway day?
TV contract.
I understand, is this a getaway day or is this game
and if, two? And Scott, if they moved it to tonight, there's a chance of severe weather, so it's probably better they're playing it during the day. All Did right. you see, by the way, speaking of heat, my God, we lost a softball umpire.
Did he die?
I do not think the outcome was good. And I'm curious, you know, for anyone who has to work in the heat, whether your job is baseball or something else, we had two Major League Baseball players and a Major League Baseball umpire suffer heat stroke.
That was last weekend.
They went down last weekend. And then 61-year-old Mitchell Huggins, a youth softball umpire, passed away after suffering heat stroke during a tournament in South Carolina. He collapsed. He was behind the plate, wasn't he, Sam?
I believe so, yeah.
So they also have the heavy padding on to protect
and
them.
And the helmet.
And those youth umpires will go all day. I mean, they'll do 5, 6, 7 games, not just one.
No, that's true.
I was at a college game last year, and the umpire was having some difficulty with the heat. It was late May, early June. And there was like a 2-hour delay because he, thank God, made the call to step off the field take all of his heat gear off, and he was just sitting over at his truck drinking water, putting cold rags on his neck, getting back to a more reasonable temperature. And they called some other guy up, and he drove in and finished the game out.
Listen to this. Everyone on the field tried everything to resuscitate her brother, she says, as players and parents began praying for him. He was later pronounced dead at the hospital. But parents of players in the tournament shared their concerns about why the games were being allowed to be played in such extreme weather conditions. Tournament organizers did not immediately respond. This also... you know, goes beyond baseball or softball. I would say the same thing about soccer tournaments. Like, is there, as the temperatures keep getting warmer, is there a point where you just say we cannot have kids, officials, and parents out when the field feels like it's 120 degrees, especially if you got those black crumbly tire pieces underneath?
It's hot.
It is hot.
Well, in my experience, and it lasted 20 years, any time we were playing a game where it was over, I want to say 85 degrees or 83 degrees or something, there was a built-in two-minute water break in each half.
There would have to be.
There was. And, yeah, it gets hot. I mean, it gets really hot. And what we would do, Dusty and I would do, is we would up our subbing ins. Nobody played the entire game at that point. And the person you feel the sorriest for is the goalie.
Yeah.
They've got gloves on. They've got long-sleeve shirts on. But unlike other players, a goalie gets to keep a water bottle next to the goal.
Right.
I think it was every single year, the first couple of games, we had those mandatory water breaks randomly throughout the soccer games.
The victim's sister says her brother died truly doing what he loved, being an umpire for children on the diamond, something he's done more than 10 years. She says the players called him Uncle Mitch or Mr. Mitch. That was his whole passion, his second home.
But don't
he loved those kids.
But don't you, and I've never had heat stroke, heat exhaustion. Don't you feel it coming on?
I think it's the opposite.
I mean, when you stop sweating, you've got a problem.
Yeah.
Well, you certainly feel it coming on. You can feel the fact that you're overheating, but at a certain point, you become delirious.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just powering through, and I got to do it. This is my passion.
And
a
so
reminder,
sad.
If you do have to be outside in this heat, hydration is not a day of thing.
That's right. Yeah.
So if you're gonna have to be out for 5, 6, 7 hours in 100-degree heat, you need to be hydrating 3, 4 days in advance.
This the individual we lost over during this tournament was a larger man. Like, and I don't mean 600 pounds, but he was just a bigger guy.
Big guy, yeah.
And so, you know, there, I think the coroner said heat primarily was the contributing factor. So I don't know if there was something with his heart going on or, you know, that would have made it worse. But
you
can
remember
be
how old he was?
61.
Okay.
But you can be in your 20s or 30s and go down with heat stroke. Well, the MLB players last week.
What?
Who are, and you know one of the things I said about that, Scott? They are acclimated. They are used to going out and playing. I don't know that you play a double header when it's 100 degrees, but they're used to being out in the heat.
Well, you know who I would blame other than the players themselves? Their trainers.
Yeah.
Did they not look at the forecast? Did they not hydrate these players over the last couple of days prior?
They should be. From the text line.
That's my point.
I'm an umpire. Tournament directors will not cancel due to heat. They would have to issue refunds in the thousands of dollars.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
That's
now,
true.
I can understand playing through the heat, but do we need the same umpire for 6, 7 games in a row?
Yeah.
Who else are you going to get?
Well.
Have 2 or 3 umpires on deck.
But Sam, how many times have we had the story where I can remember in the last few years when I was coaching youth soccer, there were some games where the head ref would come over and say, do you mind? I'm gonna work this sideline. Because we were supposed to have 2 side refs,
yeah,
right? And the head ref would come over every once in a while and say, hey, do you mind? I'm going to work this side. He's going to work that side. We've only got the 2 of us. We don't have a 3rd.
That's a great point. I forgot about short staffing.
And the reason is because parents sometimes act like jerks. And, you know, 15, 16, 17-year-old kids, while they would be enticed by the $30 they make per game, or $35 they make per game, don't want to put up with you being a jerk behind their back and yelling at them and telling them that they're more blind than Stevie Wonder. I've heard all of this stuff.
And those same angry parents would be the ones with pitchforks having an uprising because they paid thousands of dollars to travel to that tournament.
They've canceled
it. And you canceled it for a little bit of heat.
Yeah, and you got to keep that in mind as well. For these tournaments especially, there are teams that come in from Iowa, from Nebraska, from Oklahoma. We even had a team one year from Arkansas that drove all the way up here. And, you know, they drive, they make hotel reservations, they're ready to roll. The parents got their coolers of beer, they're going to get hammered and then insult the refs. And then you cancel the tournament because it's a little warm.
They got their Stanley Cups full of vodka.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's real. It is real. It does happen. Telephone number here is 913-586-7798, 586-7798. Tomorrow at 5 o'clock, we will be doing Festivus Friday, the airing of the grievances. In the 3 o'clock hour today, we did a little research, something we're not supposed to do on this show, but we did it.
Yes.
And at my home last evening, we watched The Poop Cruise. So did Michael Mackey. And we will be visiting with Mr. Mackey in the next hour to talk about The Poop Cruise.
Just on a scale of, and by the way, if you go in the Dana and Parks folder, there is just a taste.
Taste, is that really the word you want to use?
Really? A waft.
Of the message that I left Michael that started this entire conversation.
Did he sniff it out?
It's under Poop Cruise, and yes, he did sniff it out. On a scale of 1 to 10, it's obviously a 10 out of 10. It is a runs, do not walk.
Okay.
How
totally not necessary.
Did you like it? Because you said last night you had plans. You didn't think you were going to get to watch I was happy to hear that you did.
Well, we're going to dinner tonight with my brother and my mom. And, you know, T has to get to bed early because she gets up really early. And so last night I get home. I go, babe, why don't we skip the game tonight? We'll go Saturday. They play Saturday night. And then, so we watched Wheel, of course. And then I said, I don't know how to tell you this. And you can pick whatever you want. I don't care. Just find something on Netflix.
However.
But, and emphasis on the word but, Dana wouldn't shut up today about a documentary called The Poop Cruise. And T looks at me and she goes, what? And I go, Dana would not shut up about some documentary called The Poop Cruise. Mm-hmm. So I go into the cook doesn't clean at my house. And so I'm in the kitchen cleaning the dishes. And I look over and I just see the headline, train wrecked, The Poop Cruise.
It's called The Floating Disaster, The Poop Cruise.
No, it's called Train Wrecked.
Floating Disaster.
That's not what I saw on my screen.
It is called Train Wreck.
Thank you, Sam.
I would hate for you to smear the name of the podcast.
All right. Really? I made all the sports boys watch it, too.
Well, I'll tell you this. I thought it was a solid probably 8.
Now, would you say that it left a stain on Carnival?
Is it your number one favorite documentary?
Unclearly.
Or is it your number two?
It's definitely a runs, do not walk. We're done. We're done. Goodbye.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I have a question.
I have an answer.
I just posted a video of Scott losing his ever-loving mind when he walked in and realized his chair wasn't here. Your chair is back.
I think you guys are making this a little bit more than it really is.
We are.
Your vein in your forehead was pulsating. You had a little bit of a redness about your face.
I'm a creature of habit. You know that.
You like your broken chair. We got it.
And love it.
At one point, you said to me, I think you think I'm faking this mad right now. No, I'm really... mad.
That's exactly. exactly what he said.
I did say that.
So I posted some video of Scott raging just because I thought it was funny. And what I noticed, if you pull up the video, I turned the camera around at one point and I go, what is the deal with men and their office furniture? Like Melvin and his stapler. I was told I could listen to the radio at a reasonable hour. And I notice as I turn the camera around, there is a gigantic black piece of pepper in between my teeth. And I mean, you could see it from space. And I was with a good friend of mine yesterday, Wendy, and she said, you are not going to believe this. Do you see all this black stuff all over my hands? And I go, what is that? And she goes, I ran 3 errands yesterday before I realized that I had black, it's hard to describe, but from these towels, these hand towels, she had wiped the sweat off her face because it was 100 degrees out that day. And the towels were new enough that it left a black fuzz, like it looked like mud, dirt all over her face. So she leaves, she goes to the bank, she goes to like the hardware store and she goes somewhere. She goes, not a single person said to me, hey, got a little something right here. She said, I finally, when I realized it, I started recounting all of the errands I'd run. And I thought I was face to face with 3 or 4 different people. Now, granted, we didn't know each other.
All right. So,
and no one said to me, you've got something all over your face.
All right. So I want to ask you both, and you have to be honest. I'm going to give out 3 scenarios. Okay. 3 scenarios. And you tell me if you would do, if you would inform a friend, and if you would inform a stranger.
Let's do it.
You ready?
Yep.
Sam, you go first. Something stuck in teeth.
Would and have both friend and stranger.
Okay. Dana.
Something would in teeth. Would a friend, probably not a stranger. I don't like conflict.
It's not conflict. You're just, you're saying, hey, you've got, you look like an idiot. You got something stuck in your teeth.
No, okay. I wouldn't.
All right, Sam. Exposed booger in nose.
Ooh.
Oh, that's the worst.
Would for a friend.
Or a family member.
But well, I'm not doing that one for a stranger.
You're not informing a stranger that they have a booger in their
nose.
Is it
dangling below the knot?
That's what I mean. It is exposed. You can clearly see that. Because, you know, your nose hairs, what boogers are is collected dust.
Yeah.
Why they're green, I don't know. But anyway, if it is anywhere below the nostril line.
Now, am I in a situation where there is something that could be used as a Kleenex nearby?
No.
No.
Then no, I'm not doing it.
Okay, Dana. Exposed below the nostril
below
line.
Below the nostril.
In nose.
Friend, acquaintance, or family member.
Would you tell me if I had a booger dangling out of my nose?
I would probably take a photo of it first.
And then and then say it on the air.
Friend, acquaintance, or family member, yes.
Okay.
I'm always going to be funny about it. I'm going to be like, oh, babe, you might want to, something there.
So would you tell them you have a booger in your nose, or would you go,
no,
hey,
I
Scott.
Say, I would want someone to tell me, stranger, is it swinging?
I would think they would be able to feel that. I would hope.
If it's swaying,
No, it's just below the nostril line.
Okay, it stresses me out just thinking about it. Why? That's the topic
here.
What
do you mean, why?
Why does it stress me out to even think about telling someone I don't know? What I would want to be told that, you know, I'd want someone to tell me. I get stressed out even at the thought of telling a stranger. Let me break it down one more time. If it was a woman, way more likely to tell her. Woman that I don't know, way more likely to tell her.
Wow.
Man I don't know, I'm letting you dangle. Dangle in the wind, I'm sorry.
Wow. All right.
I would probably have the uncontrollable urge to wipe my own nose until they got the picture.
Okay. That's kind of the universal symbol for.
But you would have to do it in front of them, hello. Hey.
Don't you think you'd be more likely to tell a dude than a woman you did not know that she's got that going on?
I don't think I would tell a stranger.
But if you had to, don't you think it'd be easier for you to tell a man than a woman? Because for me, a woman, I'd be like, hey, sis, I'd want someone to tell me.
I'm here to help you.
If it's a dude, no way.
Because if I remember correctly, I think I've offered somebody at QT a Kleenex before. Like, hey, you might want to.
What, do you keep Kleenex behind the desk?
Yeah.
You want to
take care of a little something? Got a little something, something there. Here you go.
Okay, you sound perverted.
No, you got to keep it hush hush.
Why don't you just give them the Kleenex and say, "Here is the Kleenex, and here's your lottery tickets, and you have a booger in your face."
Because the act of offering the Kleenex is, you don't have to expand on that transaction.
Okay. All right, here's the last one.
Okay.
Zippers down.
Yes.
No, hang on. You're not first. Sam.
Would and have both friend and stranger.
Okay.
Male and female?
Male and female.
Now, if it's a female, I'm not telling her because you know what that looks like?
It looks like you've been staring at her
crotch.
Lovely, yeah, lady parts.
Mm-hmm.
Fly
what are you
down.
Looking at up front?
This is interesting. Booger, male, I don't know. Uncomfortable saying anything. Fly down, male, I don't know. I would say, oh, look, I've got sons. I would want someone to tell my sons. Zip it up. I would make a joke about it. Because I know the man would be like, oh my gosh, thank you.
Now, what if it was like in line at the QT?
Probably just going to ignore it and go, I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Just walk away from that one.
Okay, elevator, non-starter. If you're in an enclosed space, I'm not going to be like, hey, your fly's down. Because why would you be looking that direction? That's weird.
Because it's an abnormal situation.
It doesn't matter where you are. If you tell anybody your fly is down, that says to them, I just looked at your crotch. There's no getting around it. There's no getting around it.
What if you said, I used to work in a zipper factory, so I
look at crotches all the time. I can't help but look at crotches.
I would want to come up with a backstory that would explain.
I'm a crotch spy. What I do.
I just say, hey, barn door is open.
Yeah, you know.
I mean, there's diffusing ways to say it.
I might do that. Barn door is open.
Catching a breeze?
No.
No, gosh, no.
No, not catching Weirdo. A breeze. No, no. Speaking of.
Oh, you really want me to go to that?
Yes, it fits perfectly with the topic at hand, Sam.
Yeah, it does. Well, it didn't really fit.
I got to clean up this first line. This is from Running Magazine.
Oh, reputable.
Everybody subscribes. Yep,
yeah, reputable publication.
I'm in the first, check that. In the second word, I'm going to leave a letter out, and it'll be the first letter of the word. Going all's out. Going all's out
yep, got it.
Is not meant to be taken literally, but that might be news to American hurdler Chris Robinson. At Tuesday's Ostrava Golden Spike meeting in the Czech Republic, the sprinter suffered a massive wardrobe malfunction while running the 400-meter hurdles, resulting in a very clear shot of his junk falling clean out of his shorts.
Yep.
And I don't need the commentary.
The mouse is out of the house.
Yep.
The barn door was wide open.
And despite reaching down to adjust himself as he came down the final stretch, Robinson was still first to the finish line.
He won?
Seeking a season's best 48.05 seconds.
He won?
Yeah.
Despite the...
After finishing at the finish line, he lost his balance, but the 24-year-old athlete somersaulted, giving fans yet another look and a different angle.
Of the dangle?
Wow. Now, you guys do remember at the NFL Combine.
Who was that guy?
It was Chris Jones.
It was Chris Jones.
Was it really?
It was. And he dove onto it, so he probably got a little bit of turf burn.
What was this runner's name?
The sprinter's name was Chris Robinson, Dana.
Oh, both named Chris.
Did he cross the finish line when he won by, would you say?
No.
No, I would not.
Stop it.
913-5. You're so dirty. 913-586-7798.
Did you hear her pause?
Yes.
She goes, and around comes Chris.
He stops there to adjust his shorts.
He stopped to adjust his shorts.
Wonder what hotel she ended up at later that night.
I mean, every single pause, she was about to comment on his running.
He knew it. Well, look, he knew it. Because
clearly,
at one point, he tries to pull down his jersey because it is just a flipping and a flopping. And that's when she pauses. He comes around the corner, and then when he wins the race, he claps his chest down. Like, he claps his fore, obviously, to you know, cover himself. And he is cracking up. He is laughing out loud. And so, you know, it happens.
Does it?
It's an equipment malfunction.
Clearly. If I was him, I'd be proud.
It's Robinson in the lead by his junk.
All right, reel it in.
Just a wee bit of a lead.
Nope.
What else you got, Scott, before we get in trouble here?
I'm just glad his last name's not Johnson.
Okay, nope.
And Robinson barely eats through with the win.
Nope.
By an inch. Oh, my.
Did she go to a dispensary today?
I don't know.
My Lord. God dang it. Don't let this be one of those where we can't
reel it in.
Right.
Reel it in.
That's right. Exactly right.
Okay. You go right. You do you over there.
So, okay.
Well, we can talk about
Iran's Ayatollah.
Oh, really?
Khamenei.
We're going to go from that to Iran?
Well, I thought we'd go from one blank to another blank.
Okay. That's fair. That's valid.
Iran's Ayatollah Khamenei has issued a claim of victory over Israel and a big slap in the face to the United States today in a post that he put on his Twitter account. Mm-hmm. He's 86 years old. Mm-hmm. I doubt he is the one who actually uses the Twitter. But anyway, he says Israel's government was practically knocked out and crushed under the blows of the Islamic Republic. His words, not mine. In a recorded video address to his country, his first public remarks since the U.S. brokered ceasefire with Israel took effect on Tuesday, Khamenei went further, suggesting, quote, a large number of military and other targets in Israel had been taken out by Iran's missiles.
So there were a number of stories about this post, and most of them, the general theme was upset. People were upset that he made this claim.
People in
the United States?
Yeah, sure.
Who cares? Who cares if he lies to his people?
They all do.
Who, as long as more people aren't dying, he can claim victory all he wants.
Yeah. Khamenei also claimed Iran had given the U.S. a big slap in the face by attacking the Al Udeid Air Base in Qatar, which is home to thousands of American forces, even though, according to President Trump, they gave us a heads up that they were going to do it. None of the roughly dozen missiles that Iran fired at the sprawling base even hit it. They were all intercepted. Despite the Ayatollah's assertion of lots of damage to the site. Okay. A new study has revealed the total number of hours that Americans spend using their phones while sitting on the toilet.
And right back to it.
Yeah, couldn't help
Made
myself.
One story.
Couldn't help myself.
I did a little Windex today on a paper towel, and I completely cleaned the exterior of my case, of the phone, because I think it's the germiest thing that we have, right?
It is, and you didn't do anything.
Nothing?
Windex is not a disinfectant.
Well, whatever it was. I don't even remember what it was.
What you need to do, if I can give you some advice without you asking, I use Clorox wipes. You know, the stuff that everybody had during COVID?
Thank you. That's what it was.
Okay.
That is what it was.
If you use a Clorox wipe, then yeah, it's good.
Because I sprayed some pesticide, I think. What's the thing that you put on your hose and it just goes, you turn it on, but there's like a bottle on it of
pesticide. Weed killer?
Sort of, yeah, but it's for mites. And I did that,
mites.
And it was a little bit windy, and some of the spray got on me. And I'm like, I don't want to be part of the Roundup lawsuit. I started hearing Camp Lejeune ads in my head. So I, you know, pesticides are not something to mess around with. So I went inside, completely washed off, cleaned my shoes, and cleaned my phone.
Then I think you did all right.
Because I don't think you're supposed to have your skin in lingering contact with that stuff.
So anybody care to guess how many hours we spend scrolling through our phone while we're on the commode?
Per day?
Nope. It's I believe this is for a year.
Mm.
Anyone? Bueller?
20 hours?
Mm.
40.
You're closest.
No way.
49 hours a year scrolling on our phone on the toilet. 66% of the people are scrolling through social media.
Who had to get in the weeds for that study?
40% are watching videos. 37% of the time we're responding to texts and DMs. 36% of the time we're reading the news. 36% of the time sending emails, playing games, shopping.
All right, who's sending emails?
And talking on the phone.
Talking?
Mm-hmm.
Wait. You cannot talk when you're in the bathroom because, A, that's weird if there's someone in the stall next to you and you're like, oh, yeah, how are you doing? B, that's just like, well, it's more gross to me, I don't know why, than just scrolling.
But you're thinking everybody's doing it while they're at work. I have talked to many people on my phone.
Have you been on the toilet when I call you?
So there's a trick to the game. So you never hear me flush. What I do is I mute myself and then I flush while you're talking.
Oh. My gosh, I did not need to know that.
I think I've called you out for it before, if I remember correctly, because there's an echo. You can tell.
Speaking of the toilet, train wreck the poop cruise.
Man, this show is really a little tawdry today. I'm going to be honest.
We're not off the rails. There aren't any rails.
It's in the news. It is the number one watch documentary, bar none.
By the way, 2% of people say they answer video calls while they're on the John.
You're lying.
2% right there. 2%.
I have seen people in public FaceTiming with their significant other while they were showering. Let's just say I thought I was watching a track meet.
Wow. Michael Maggie is going to join us here in just a second here on Dana and Parks Poop Cruise.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.